Well, it's good to be back in Paclet, South Carolina. Amen. I'm tired of driving. I'm just going to be honest with you. I remember back in the deputation days, having to travel like this and for years to get where God wants us to be. And now I haven't done this in 10 years. I traveled this much, and I've been thinking 8 different states now on this furlough. But God's blessed me. God's taught me some things also on this furlough. He taught me I need to come home a little bit more often and get recharged. Hey, we need to get preached to too. Amen. And man, God has done that. I've sat under some good preaching along the way, and just being recharged, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to get back and get busy. Amen. I was sitting there listening to Brother Kerrigan talk. I said, man, he sounds like Mike Pence when he talks. I said, man, if I had his voice, I would probably be, everybody says I look like Mike Pence, so if I had your voice, I'd be doing pretty good, right? Amen? I got to sit there listening to him because, man, he does sound like Mike Pence. Amen? But from what I understand, there's no escort service running out of this church. Amen? But I love your pastor. I am just thankful for him and his family. They mean so much to me and my family. I can remember when those girls were real little, and they were, huh? But my girls actually loved his girls. They loved hanging around with them all that time. They were together, and just a blessing. I'm just thrilled to see how God's using them now. Now that they're grown young ladies, and God just using them in the ministry. And hey, let me tell you something. Brianna, my youngest, she did go to cosmetology. I mean, not cosmetology school, but beautician, whatever they call that. But look where she's at now. She's serving the Lord. Amen? So it's okay to have a vision, amen, and to have some goals, but just follow the Lord. He'll put you where he wants you, amen? And I know I can just see God doing some great things with you guys. He didn't give you guys all that talent for nothing, amen? And he'll use you the way he wants to. But let me give you a little update real quick. I don't have means to show the video here. We did put a video together, the 10 years of ministry in the Yucatan Peninsula since we've gotten there. The Lord has truly blessed over the years. It's taken some time. I realize it don't happen overnight. Amen? It takes a lot of work and a lot of prayer and all that to go into it. And by the way, without your prayers and your support, we can't do what we do. Amen? It takes all of us working together to do the work of God. And man, is he doing a work down there. Right now, our church is, we're running about 100 on Sunday morning. We're maxed out now as far as space goes. We've renovated the building 3 times already in 10 years, and there's no more where to go. But people are getting saved. People visiting church all the time. It's just an ongoing thing, which is a good thing. Amen? Seeing God save souls. Brother Jason Thomas, he worked with us for about 7 years. He still does. We still kind of help each other out, but he started a church over a year ago, about 30 minutes away from where we are. I help with that as well. The church supports him and help him any way we can. And he's doing a good work as well. I think they're running about 40 people already in a year's time. And y'all continue to pray for him. The Lord has blessed our needs to get a transport van. Haven't been able to get it yet because of COVID. They put me on a waiting list. But the money's sitting in the mission at the mission board. Amen. Ready to buy it, a brand new one. I realize you can't outgive God. Amen. I've learned along the way, the more I give, the more God gives back. Amen? And that's just how he operates. And as I said, we've been in need of a piece of property, and a lot of things have happened in the last 3 weeks, or actually in the last month, since I've been in the States. The Lord put me in the path of a gentleman in Florida for 20 years. He's been giving his money to missionaries to help with their needs. And every time he does it, God just expands his business. It's just growing like crazy. He goes, I can't afford not to give to missionaries and help them out. And so he partnered up with us. And he's coming down in July on his way to Guatemala. And his son was killed in a car wreck in a senior in high school. And he started his own organization called Crossing Jordan. And he said, how this works, whatever a missionary needs, whatever he needs to raise, I match half of it, dollar for dollar. And he is willing, for this piece of property that we are trying to buy, he is willing to match half of those funds. Property where we live is expensive. It's not cheap. Jared found us a piece of property with an unfinished 6,000 square feet L-shaped building sitting on the property. It's been sitting empty for about 5 years, and they're asking $323,000 for this property. It's expensive, but it's only three blocks from the church. We have a lot of our people walk to church, and I didn't want to leave our neighborhood. It's an enormous neighborhood where our church is at. Over 50,000 people live in that neighborhood. And anyway, they've already came off the price $50,000 just overnight. And so all we need to raise now so that brought it down to $273,000. So I just had to come up in half of that, $136,000. I preached in Atlanta 2 weeks ago. They gave me $4,000. God's already doing it. I'm just standing back out of the way, amen, and let God do it. And I know he's going to give it to us. We want to start a Bible college next year, so we're going to have room to do all that. I want to build about a 300-seat auditorium off of it and just have everything right there in one area for the future of this work, amen. So y'all just help us pray. Help us pray that God will bring in the funds that we need to accomplish this. The church does have some funds in the bank as well to get the ball rolling once we get the property and all that stuff. So y'all continue to pray for us. Pray for my wife. She's been through a lot over the last 4 months since her dad died and still going through some issues. But I know she would love to be in here with me. She misses you guys dearly. And I know some of y'all got to speak with her the other day. But y'all just keep them in your prayers. Amen. And God's using her up there to win her family to Christ. I can't. I tried. But God's doing a mighty work with her and through her. Amen. All right, let's preach a little bit. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want to read verses 14 down through 17. The Bible says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, I need you today, right now. God, I need to move myself out of the way. Lord, I pray that you just use me, God, as you see fit. Lord, give me the words to say, God, the way you want them to be said. And God, most of all, if there's one here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, God, I pray that they'll know you before it's too late. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I want you to go back to verse 15. I want us to look at something here. Paul says here that he says, I am ready to preach the gospel of Christ. That word ready means to be prepared and available. Amen. We live in a day and time, if you haven't noticed it or not, where we need to preach the gospel more like than we've ever had in our lifetime. The world is going to hell faster than I can snap my fingers. Amen. I cannot believe the things that are going on in my own country. How things have changed. And if there was ever a time for us to take a stand and preach the gospel and to be ready, he said, it's now. Amen. You might not be called to pastor a church or do other things, but we are, as believers in Christ, need to be ready, amen, to preach the gospel, to be ready to serve and to do everything to reach this world and this generation for Christ. I want to share some things with you this morning, some things that we need to be ready for, amen, in 2023. So I want to preach on this thought just for a few moments. Are you ready? Are you ready? It's a simple question. Amen? There's a lot of churches filled with people that aren't ready to do anything. And they don't want to do anything. Amen? But we must be ready. We're losing members by the groves. People aren't even coming to church because they're not ready in so many areas of their life. Amen? So the first thing I want us to look at this morning, we should be ready to meet the Lord. Amen? Look in Luke chapter 12 quickly. Luke chapter 12. I'm still in 11. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But be ye ready, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. There's a lot of truth in that verse right there alone, in verse 40. Number one, he is coming back. Amen? And we must be ready. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 51, that he is coming in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Amen? Yeah, I promise you right now, the way things are going on in the world that we live in, he's standing there waiting, amen, to look over at Gabriel and said, I've had enough, amen. Go ahead and let it rip, son. Hey, and we are going home to get our saints and come and bring them back. Amen? But let me ask you something this morning. Are you ready to meet him? Amen. I remember a long time ago, it's been a while ago, some college, I don't even remember who did it, but they did an enactment, I guess you could say, of the rapture. When that time comes, and they were in a church setting, and that guy was standing behind a pulpit, just like where I'm standing right now, and all these people went in there, and he was preaching away, and all of a sudden, he disappeared, kaboom, his Bible hits the floor, and it made a loud noise. And a lot of the people vanished, they were gone. But they were those that were still sitting there. Amen. And the sight that I saw, and this is not far-fetched, by the way, because that time is going to come, as sure as I'm standing here, when he said, in a twinkling of an eye, that's quicker than we can blink. Amen. And that's going to happen. And we're going to be gone. Well, those people that were left, they were all bent over. They were screaming, saying, oh my God, I knew this day was going to come. I've heard it my whole life, and here it is. But guess what? It's too late. It's too late. I hope you're not one of those sitting in this room this morning thinking you hope you got it ready. Hoping, basing your eternal security on hope or yourself, amen. I pray that you're not here to this morning relying on hope or I'm a good person or I've done this for everybody else. Hey, it's not about whether you being good or not. Amen. We can't be good enough when it comes to the things of God because we got to put all of our faith and trust in Him and Him alone. Amen. It's through Christ Jesus, through His blood that we can come to Him and know we can be in heaven when we die. I don't want to be the one of the ones sitting there bent over screaming and wailing, amen, and missed out. But we need to be ready. Oh Lord, I pray right now that that if you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure that if you were to die right now, heaven would be your home. I wouldn't even wait till I got done preaching. I would come running as fast as I could right now and grab him or whoever, amen, and say, I need to know now. And don't let the devil keep lying to you and fill your head full of nonsense, amen, saying, hey, don't worry about him. It's okay. We're all going to go. No, you're not. I'm sorry. There's a reason God put the verse in the Bible that narrow is a way. Heaven's not going to be as full as we think it is. Amen? But let me ask you something. Are you ready? That's a big question. Are you ready? A lot of people aren't ready right now. They don't want to give up the luxuries of life and all this other stuff. I was there once. I didn't want to give it up. Amen? But I had to come to a realization it's not about all that stuff and what we can have. Amen? It's more important than that. It's about knowing Him and be ready when He comes. Amen? I'll share a little story with you real quick. Happened about 3 weeks ago. My wife's stepfather, he about died also just a few weeks ago. And he wasn't ready. 75 years old, and wasn't ready. Some difficulties went on. My wife, about the third day, I called her that morning. I'd just gotten into Burlington, North Carolina, and she was crying. I thought he had passed away. I said, "What's wrong?" She pulled herself together and she said, "I was under conviction this morning on my way to the hospital. And thinking, I have never mentioned Christ to him, not one time, and here he could have died." And she went into the hospital that morning. She went into his room. She said, "Gus, I need to apologize to you." He said, "Why?" She said, "You could have died 3 days ago, and I go all over the world telling people about Jesus, and I never said one word to you about him." And she said, "If you had died the other day, do you know where you would have went?" He said, "No, purgatory, I guess." I mean, he was straight up. That's how he said it. She said, "Gus, there's no such thing as purgatory." She said, "Would you mind if I take this Bible right now while you're still alive and show you that if you were to die while you're in here, that heaven can be your home?" And he broke down, big old man. He broke down and started crying. He said, "Please show me." And she led her 75-year-old stepdad to the Lord that morning. So if he was to go now, I know where he'll be. Amen? But that's a big old question, folks. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? I mean, we'll talk a big talk. We can put on the show and we can act like a Christian and talk like a Christian, all that. But he was teaching in Sunday school class this morning. He was all over this stuff. But is your heart ready? Have you repented of your sin nature and asked Christ to come into your heart and save your soul? I hope so. So are you ready to meet the Lord? Also, we should be ready to suffer for Christ. Look in Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. The Bible says, let me get back here to my notes. Okay, in verse 10, as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he has come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. So here Agabus had prophesied of Paul's imprisonment, amen, that he was going to be tortured, amen, and taken out, basically. But Paul loves the Lord, and he wasn't about to give in, amen. And you know what? We should, as Christians, should be the same way. When it comes to putting our life on the line, amen, and serving the one who died for you and me, we should all have that same mentality as Paul has here. Say, go ahead. I'm ready to suffer for my Lord. And then look what Paul says in verse 13. He says, then Paul answered, and he asked him a question. What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? He said, what are you crying for? He said, don't cry. He wasn't sad. He goes, hey, wait, what's wrong with you all? Amen. He said, my heart's ready. I'm doing what God has me to do. And I'm doing it with joy and gladness in my heart. Then he goes on to say, for I am ready not to be bound only, he said, go ahead, do what you got to do, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember, we haven't seen persecution, folks, but it's coming. Amen. I remember our forefathers, amen, years ago, Shubal Stearns, George Whitfield, all these guys had preaching the gospel and were persecuted. A lot of them were burned at the stake for just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here we're living in a day, Brother Michael, that preachers are starting to be put in jail for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? But let me ask you something. Are you ready to suffer for him? That's a big question. Amen? Oh yeah, we want to do this and we want to do that, but no, there's a line that I will not go across. But shouldn't we be like Paul? Amen? Be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, no matter what happens? Amen? What does the Bible say? To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? So what? So whatever happens, happens. Amen? If I die today while I'm preaching, amen, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'll be in a lot better place and be a lot better off. But when we do go through sufferings in our life, we need to praise God for it. Amen? We need to give him credit for everything that we do. I remember years ago, Brother Brown preached a message on there ain't nobody like him. You remember that message? Can you imagine when Paul and Silas were in prison and those walls came just crashing down? Amen. And that old jailer was standing there, confused and dazed. He's like, what in the world's going on? And old Paul ran up to him and said, ooh, there ain't nobody like him. Look what he just did. How about the three Hebrew boys walking around that fiery furnace? Old Nebuchadnezzar was looking in there. Then he saw the fourth one walking around. Amen? And they came out of there with not even a hair singed on their body. There ain't nobody like him, Nebuchadnezzar. Have you ever had a time in your life that you suffered for Christ and you had the opportunity to look at somebody and say, there ain't nobody like him? Amen? It's a good feeling. I remember when Chelsea had Avery, their second grandson. He was in ICU for 13 days. They couldn't get him to breathe on his own. They had him hooked up to all these machines and stuff. And we thought we were going to lose him, actually. They got down to one machine left is all they had in the town. It was across town at another hospital. They brought that machine over there. The nurse that worked on him had just arrived in Merida 2 weeks prior to his birth. And she was the only one that knew how to treat that child. Now you tell me God is not in control and knows what's going on. Amen? But I remember my daughter sitting on that hospital bed bawling and crying. And she said, Lord, if you take my son, she said, I will praise you anyway. That's a lot of faith right there, Hoss. And here she's going through suffering and pain. And all she wants to do is do everything she can for her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we're going through the valley right now. And she said, God, no matter what happens, I'm going to praise you anyway. And all of a sudden they hook that youngin up to those machines and he took off breathing on his own. And they took those machines off of him. And we still got a photo, that little old head laid back in that nurse's arms with a big old smile on his face. Like he was just saying, thank you, Jesus. You know what I did? I had me a shouting fit in that place. Amen. I went up to that old doctor. I said, there ain't nobody like my Jesus. Amen. Hey, he always pulls through when we can't. Amen. He can heal us when nobody else can. Amen. But let me ask you something. Are you ready to suffer for Christ? A lot of people aren't. Amen. Also, we back in our text, we should be ready to preach the gospel. In Romans chapter 1, Paul said, I'll read it again. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, that we are to be instant, in season and out of season. That means we are to be ready to preach at all costs at any given moment. Amen? We are to be ready to preach, whether it be in a prison, a palace, in public or in private. We are to be ready to preach. And let me tell you something real quick. It's not just your pastor's responsibility to preach the gospel. Amen? It's all of our responsibility is to preach the gospel. Now, it's his responsibility to pastor you, amen, and feed you. But let me show you what the Greek word preach means is kiroxon or something like that is the name, is the word. It means to proclaim openly. Amen? It means to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And basically, just go tell the world what he did for you and me. He said, preach. Amen? The world has turned itching ears to the preaching in our day and time. In 2 Timothy, any presentation of the truth of God's word is preaching. It doesn't mean behind a pulpit or a style of preaching or teaching. He said just preach the gospel. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Amen. Find you a group of people. Stand on a street corner somewhere and just let it rip. Or on a bus loaded down with people. But we're slacking in these areas. Amen. A lot of people aren't ready to do that. Well, I can't do that. Why not? God saved you, didn't he? Amen. When a preacher was preaching, God gave the Holy Ghost of God brought you under conviction. God saved your old sorry soul. So how about us? Let's do God a favor. Let's preach the word for him. Amen. But a lot of us aren't ready to do that. Also, we should be ready to die in the Lord. Now, I'm not asking you, are you ready to die? I'm not ready to die. I got a lot of stuff I want to get done. If the Lord will let me, amen. If he'll let me be here long enough. But are you ready to die in the Lord? In 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, Paul says, "For I am ready to be offered. My departure is at hand." He said, "Go ahead, I'm ready." When they had him there, he said, "Go ahead. I'm ready to go. I'm dying in the Lord. I'm dying in his will. I'm dying where he has me. So I am ready to go." But a lot of people can't say that. I can't honestly say that I'm ready to die in the Lord. Maybe because you're not in the Lord. You're not in the will of God. Amen. It's a lot easier to die in the Lord when we're in God's will. Amen. And serving him and all that. But Paul goes on to say, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." How many sitting here today, are you going to be able to hear those words when we get to heaven? Is he going to look at you, the Lord, and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Is he going to be able to say that about all of us? I hope so. Hey, can I say this? I'm still a work in progress from the day God saved me. I have not arrived, and I ain't going to arrive. But I'm going to learn as much as I can till the day I die and do what God asks us to do. Amen? And I want to do everything I can to be obedient to him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body but to be present in the Lord. There's that verse I tried to quote a while ago. Are you ready to die in the Lord? I remember when your grandfather passed away, I was watching, getting bits and pieces of it. Brother Kerrigan passed away. And one of the most precious things I saw, somebody wrote, made a statement, and it had him laying there in the bed and all that. He said, "I had preached my whole life teaching them how to live for the Lord. Now I'm teaching them how to die in the Lord." That did something to me. That spoke to my heart, man. When I seen that man of God could say those words on his deathbed, he said, "I preached my whole life teaching people how to live for God. And now I'm teaching them how to die in him." Shouldn't we be like that? Amen. Shouldn't we be ready to die in the Lord? My Lord, what faith. Knowing when you get ready to take your last breath, "Lord, I've done all I could with you by my side. And now I'm ready to meet you face to face." What a feeling. Amen. And lastly, we should be ready to defend the faith. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The glorious truth that has been given to us is under attack, if you haven't noticed it or not. They've taken God out of everything that this country was founded on. They're removing it. It is our time to take a stand for what we believe and defend this book I hold in my hand. You know what? They can burn every Bible we got, but if we got the Word in our heart, they cannot take that away from us. Amen? That's why it's important for us to learn and study the Word of God and what it means and what it preaches, to hold it right here, because it might be, they might come a day, it might be the only place where we have it to give it and to take a stand for it. Amen? And it's coming. We are living in a day where prophecy is coming to life. Prophecy is coming to pass. And we are here. You know, we get upset with the things that are going on in this country with homosexuality, the way it's just gone rampant. Amen. I can't even imagine if my girls had to go to a school today knowing at any given time a boy could walk into their bathroom. It just blows my mind. God help our country. I pray for our country every day. They're just lost. They're just lost people that need Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can restore this nation of ours. He's the only one that can bring it back together the way it used to be many, many years ago. James 1:22 reminds me. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. He's saying, don't just come in here and sit and cross your arms and nod your head and amen every now and then and leave out that door and never darken the door again or pick up your Bible again until Wednesday night or next Sunday morning. He said, be ye doers of the word. It means put some action behind it. Amen. And it's our job as pastors to teach our flock the Word of God, to be able to defend what we love and what God has given us. Amen? And without it, we have nothing to stand on, folks. Nothing. But let me ask you something this morning. Are you ready to defend the Word of truth? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to suffer for Him, for His glory? Are you ready to preach the gospel as if it was our last day on earth? Are you ready to die in Him? Are you ready? Every head bowed, every eye closed. You might be here this morning as a pastor comes. You might be here this morning and you can honestly say from your heart, a lot of things you just talked about, I'm not ready. I can't honestly say that I'm 100% ready. Maybe today would be a good time to just come down that old-fashioned altar and get in touch with God and let God give you victory over some things in your life to where you can be ready and know that when He does come or when you have to suffer for Him and lay your life on the line to prepare our hearts to be ready. Maybe you're here this morning. The reason you're not ready, you don't have Christ living in your heart. You're not ready to meet Him. But I'm going to give you a chance this morning. I'm going to give you an opportunity that nobody else ever had. If you're here this morning, you can say, "Preacher, if I were to die right now, I'm not 100% sure if heaven would be my home. Would you please pray for me?" Nobody's looking around. I just want you to slide your hand up and slide it back down real quick so I can pray for you. I'm not 100% sure. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. I'm not 100% sure. Preacher, if I were to die, if I'd go to heaven. Nobody's ever taken the Bible and sat down with me and showed me how I can know. Anybody? I see that hand in the back. Preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I see that hand. Anybody else? I'm not ready to meet the Lord. I'm not saved. But I want to be. Anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I see that hand over here. Lord, have mercy. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you work on the hearts of these that raise their hand. God, saying that they need you in their heart. Lord, I pray that your will be done. And God, that they'll not leave this place lost. Brother Michael.